Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Pat Milligan, former pastor of the Cadillac and Lake City Seventh-day Adventist churches in the Michigan Conference, and presently pastoring in the Oklahoma Conference. And now, here's Pastor Pat.
Our message this morning is dealing with this great holiday that we all love so much called Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is defined as the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. A public celebration of divine goodness. Also, a day set apart for religious services, specially to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in any remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or in the ordinary dispensation of his bounties. The practice of appointing an annual Thanksgiving originated in New England with the Pilgrims in October of 1621. So we have so much to be thankful for here in America. Amen? And so I just want to go through a long list of why we should be thankful. Number one, we should be thankful that we have been created human beings. Have you ever thought about this? Yeah, I mean, you know, we could have been created an animal or a bird or an insect or, you know, or we couldn't have even been created anything, you know? We're created as human beings in the image of Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we are very fortunate to be human beings because human beings have the opportunity to get to spend eternity with the Creator God. You know, an animal or a bird or an insect, they don't have that opportunity. But we do, amen? So people would say, well, you know, that's just odd how that this happened. But I'm just so thankful that we have intelligent minds, that we can choose to accept the Creator God. So number two, we should be so thankful that God has made a way of escape for us human beings. That yes, our first parents blew it, and we're in a fallen world, and the world's a mess, but God has made a way of escape for us. And it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made the ultimate plan of salvation. He is the plan of salvation. And we can escape by accepting his sacrifice for us. So we should be so thankful that in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, he's called our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. God wants to comfort us, counsel us. He wants to help us to get ready for heaven, so we can spend eternity with him. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I've got to go back to the Father. I'm going to be your great intercessor. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. These are things that we ought to be thankful for. Amen? And the other thing that we should be thankful for is, it's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it's talking about being thankful that we have the truth of God in these last days. There's going to be a lot of people in the last days that are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things in your name? And then he's going to declare unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. We don't want to be among that group. Amen. We want to be among the group that's talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. It's talking about the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's to deceive. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive what? The love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, in verse 11, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now we know in John 17:17, it says to sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so we need to stay close to the word of God. Jesus is the word made flesh and dwelt among us. And so there's going to be this overwhelming delusion in the last days. It's going to take out a lot of people. And we do not want to be deceived by this, but we want to hang on to the truth. We should be thankful for the truth. See, the truth will get us through to the end. But traditions and commandments of men, following things that go against God's commandments, that's going to trip us up and it's going to take us out in the end. And we don't want to be a part of that. So we should be very thankful that God has given us the truth. Amen? Yes. We should be thankful for our great salvation. We should be thankful for God's grace. How many times have we blown it? You know, too many times, right? But when we fall, let us fall toward God. He's waiting to catch us and to pick us back up and forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? God is a bigger forgiver than we are a sinner. Amen? You see, no one will ever be lost because they were too great of sinners. No one. People will be lost because they didn't believe that God would or could forgive such great sin. Are you with me? They won't be lost because they're great sinners. They're lost because they gave up on God that, well, I guess I'm too big of a sinner, so I'm just going to throw in the towel. No, no, no. God is a bigger forgiver than we are a bigger sinner. Amen? His grace is greater than our sin, but we have to run to Him. We have to fall toward Him when we fall. And by God's grace, He'll teach us not to fall. Amen? Amen. And so, we need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful for our health. You know, health is a gift of God. We see people all the time, even young people, who get these diseases and they die way too young. Health is a gift. Amen. We need to be thankful for our health. We need to be thankful for our families and our friends. And our children. Are you thankful for our family, friends, and children? Amen. Amen. We should be thankful for our church family. Amen. Thankful for our church family. We should be thankful if you have a job. You should be thankful. Amen. You know? There's a lot of people that would love to have a job, you know? Be thankful. Be thankful that you have a roof over your head. Amen? There are people that would love to have just a roof over their head. You know, just a warm place to stay. There are some people that would be thankful just to own a tent in our world, you know? Yeah. We should be thankful for a warm place. We should be thankful that we have transportation. I mean, how would you have liked to have gotten up this morning and say, honey, get up. You know, I've got to get the buggy and the horses ready to go, you know, 15 miles to Lake City today in this weather. How would you like to have done that? Yeah, or go 50 miles, exactly. Thankful we can get in a car or a truck and turn on the heater and just be there in no time, right? We ought to be thankful for this. You know, it wasn't that long ago, it was horse and buggy, right? And we ought to be thankful for transportation such as boats. Amen? Okay, I thought I'd get a good amen over here with Bruce. Yeah. We should be thankful for our everyday needs that we just take for granted, like electricity. How many of you would have liked, you know, to live 100 years ago where you would have had gotten up, put the wood in the stove, you know, take the kerosene lamp, make sure, you know, you can see, you know, with the kerosene lamp, maybe light a candle. How would you like to go back there, huh? No, aren't you glad you have electricity? Yeah. How about natural gas? For some of us who have natural gas or propane, we take that for granted. Praise God. Now, some of you like the wood heat. That's great. Praise God for the wood. Amen. God provides the wood. Amen. Yeah. And then, are you thankful? We take this for granted. Are you thankful for fresh water? There are some people in some parts of the world that would give anything for just fresh water. Clean water. Clean water. And we just take it for granted that we know we have this pure, clean water. Oh, God, thank you. We ought to be so thankful. We ought to be thankful today for our great liberty. We still have the freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our hearts. Amen? We know it won't always be, but for today, we still have that freedom. Amen? We should be thankful that we have the freedom of travel, that they don't restrict you. Well, you can't go into another state. You have to stay here. No, we can go anywhere we want. Get on a plane, go to Hawaii, you know, right? We have that. So we should be so, so thankful. We should be thankful that we still have the freedom of speech in this country. Amen? We should be thankful that we have great opportunities. There's so many people that would love to come to America because they know they have the opportunity to make a living and to buy things and to settle down. And so many people don't have those opportunities. They're in restrictive regimes, but we're not. Praise God. Sky is the limit in America. We should be thankful that we have groceries in the cupboard or in the refrigerator or in the freezer. You know, right? We have an abundance in this country. We ought to, of all people, we should be most thankful. Amen? We are to be thankful. The Bible says we to be thankful at all times. But I have to admit, as a pastor, I have difficulty sometime in this area. I can be thankful when the heavens are opened up and God's blessings are being poured out, you know. But when everything is not going so well and there's bumps in the road, sometimes I forget to thank God. I just focus on my problems and I forget to praise Him and thank Him, you know. And I start whining. And I can almost hear God say sometimes, son, now listen. Do you really want something to whine about? I can allow that. No, no, Lord. I don't want that. I don't want that. No. We shouldn't be whining in this country. Amen? You know, there is a realization of thanksgiving found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, God hasn't just given to us a meager portion. He's been bountiful to us, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Everything that we have or we ever hope to have is a gift from the Lord. We need to remember that. Listen, you brought nothing into this world, and you and I aren't taking anything with us but the clothes on your back. That's about it, right? He gives us health, strength, and opportunity to earn a living. We ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then there is the gratitude of thanksgiving. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And it says this, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to learn to never take for granted what we have and return thanks to the one who gave it. What we have now, we may not always have. Isn't that so true? So we need to thank Him. We need to thank Him. Then there is the worship of thanksgiving. It's found in Psalms 69 and verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. True thanksgiving is a magnification of a gracious, kind, gentle, loving, and compassionate Lord. Amen? And so the psalmist, over and over again, he would cry out, how great are your ways? How great is your mercy? And David would just constantly praise God because of His tender mercies toward him, toward all of us. And then there is the song of thanksgiving found in Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 46. Nehemiah 12:46, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. As we sing this morning, we should sing as unto the Lord. We are not here to be seen or heard, but rather to give to the Lord the glory due His name. Amen? It's all about Him, isn't it? It's not about us. We're here because we want to say thank you and praise the Lord. In Psalms 95 and verse 2, it says this, Psalm 95:2, it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms, or singing, amen? Singing unto the Lord. And so we're told that when we're discouraged or when we're down, that we should just start singing and praising the Lord and to lift our spirits. Isn't that so true? You remember that old song back in the 80s, you know, that when you're up against the struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear, but start praising the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. For the things that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they will drop powerless behind you when you start praising and thanking the Lord. Amen. So when you get down, just start singing these hymns and songs. You'll see your spirits will lift and soar. Psalm 26 in verse 7, there is the voice of thanksgiving. Psalm 26, 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. It is a good thing to give thanks publicly. Publicly. The Bible says in Psalm verse 50 that everything that has breath should praise the Lord. Amen? That's right. And in Psalms 107, verse 22, Psalm 107, verse 22, it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And then there's Psalm 50 and verse 14. Psalm 50 and verse 14 that talks about a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I love to give back to the Lord not only my tithe, but also a gift from a grateful heart. All that I have comes from Him, and as far as I'm concerned, belongs to Him. Everything that we have really belongs to Him, doesn't it? That's right. And then, as Tristan read Psalms 100, there is the entrance of thanksgiving. When we start our prayers in the morning, the first part ought to be praising and thanking God. You know, so often when we pray, we start out, Lord, I really need you to do this. And Lord, I need you to do that. And that's not the way to start off a prayer. You know, that's like sometimes when a teenager comes to their dad, Dad, you know, I really need this. Instead of the teenager saying, Dad, I love you so much first, you know. And then making the request. Are you with me? Yes. Yes. So the Bible says in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Faithfulness to come to the house of the Lord is a sign of true thankfulness. When we come to church, we are to approach him in our entrance with thanksgiving. Amen? And then there is the witness of thanksgiving. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It is a great testimony when unsaved people see us thanking and praising God. Sows a seed in their hearts, amen? For all that he does for us and gives to us, we should be thankful. Listen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, there are over 20 grievous sins that the Apostle Paul names one by one to describe this generation in which we're living. And one of those grievous sins in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1, is they are unthankful, unholy and unthankful. Of all people, we should be the most thankful people in all the world. Amen? Amen. And then there is the continuation of thanksgiving. And this is found in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 that says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? With thanksgiving. Let us never forget to continually count our blessings while naming them one by one. God is good all the time. Amen? All the time. Now listen, we want to close with looking at the picture of the redeemed and what they will be doing in heaven. You know, some of you have wondered, well, what are we going to be doing in heaven all the time? Well, we have some glimpses of that. It's found in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7. And we find in verse 9, Revelation 7, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and it says this. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes with palm branches in their hands. Don't you want to be among this group, brothers and sisters? It says, a great multitude which no one could number. Oh, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven, and I want to be there, and I know you want to be there too. And notice what they were doing in verse 10. They were crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God. In other words, they realized, we don't deserve to be there. None of us deserve it. It's a gift of God, amen, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And verse 11, it says, and the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be worshiping God. So if we're going to be doing it there, we need to start where? We need to start here, amen? Saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and what? Thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. Oh, this is going to happen, brothers and sisters. And I want to be there, and I know you want to be there. Listen to this beautiful thought from Great Controversy 665. The redeemed raise a song of praise that echoes and re-echoes through the vaults of heaven. And they say, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. In all that shining throng, there are none to ascribe salvation to themselves, as if they had prevail by their own power and goodness. Nothing is said of what they have done or suffered, but the burden of every song, the keynote of every anthem, is salvation to our God and unto the Lamb. Praise be His name forever and ever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this Thanksgiving season. And Lord, we have much to be thankful for, and we just want to say thank You, Jesus, over and over again, because we don't deserve any of these good things that You give to us. We know they're a gift, and we just pray that You'll help us to be thankful and that we'll be willing to share these gifts with others who know not the Lord Jesus, that we can be a blessing to them as well. And share these bounties. Thank You, Lord, for this season. And we just want to rededicate, recommit our life to our wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Pat Milligan, former pastor in the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists and presently pastoring in the Muskogee area churches of the Oklahoma Seventh-day Adventist Conference. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit a Seventh-day Adventist church this coming Sabbath? The congregation will enjoy sharing their worship service with you. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.